The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidelon.
What's
live,
up?
Live from the D here in downtown Las Vegas. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just peachy. How about you?
Peachy?
Yeah.
Happy leap day. Leap year day. February 29th.
Yeah, how does that work? Is it leap day or leap year day?
That's a good point. I don't know.
I feel like it's leap day, but I feel like the way you just said it makes more sense.
I don't know what they call it technically. Luka Doncic had a birthday yesterday. He messed around, got a triple-double. My buddy Owen on the Ravens practice squad, he's also turned 25 on February 28th, and I texted him, and I said, could you imagine if you were born on February 29th? And without hesitation, he texts back. He goes, I choose March 1st. I was like, I wasn't asking you to choose. I was just going to ignore you for 3 years in between. So I'm curious, if you were born on February 29th, how do people in your life handle this? I'd be curious. Do you plant a flag in February 28th or March 1st? Or are there some people in your life who are like, it's not your birthday, buddy?
I mean, those people, that would be rude. That would be mean.
Of course,
it would be mean, right? Yeah. I think you got to go to the 28th, though, instead of March 1st, because you're a February birthday.
Oh, without it, he's like, March 1st. I was like, why do you want to be?
I think you got to be in February still. I think you should go with the 28th every year and then make it an extra big deal when it's actually the leap year birthday.
Do you know why we have a leap year, Kelly Bidelon?
No idea.
FSU graduate, no, Florida State University
grad. I'm the guy driving in today yelling at why the sun's getting up up in the sky quicker. I'm like, you're making me feel like I'm late every day.
Gregorian calendar radio, everybody. Takes the Earth around the sun, to orbit around the sun, 365 and a quarter days, I believe.
Ah.
So you got to jam a day in there every 4 years.
Yeah, we just trash that quarter a day every year. Yeah,
it's my hack explanation, I think. FSU,
I think
everybody.
That works. I believe it, Gil.
I think that's true. Okay, on the show today, it's Thursday. You know what that means? Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen will join us, talk tennis, talk some NBA with us. It's walkover season, Kelly, in tennis. I just got a tweet from Michael Burns who was asking, what's going on with all these walkovers? And it is a combination. It's one of two things, and it could be both things. A lot of these guys, including a couple that I've been on here, have played so much tennis here in February that they're just exhausted. So we had a player who lost. It was Mencik yesterday who lost the first set 7-6 in the tiebreak. He lost at 9-7. And he's just like, I can't play anymore. Like, I'm done. So it's that, and the Indian Wells is next week. So a lot of these guys are like, should I really be playing more if I'm going to play next week? Like, maybe I should just, because tennis is de facto fifth major, so they just sort of are like, let me rest a little.
Yeah, that's, it kind of makes sense, but that's annoying as a better.
Of course it is.
It's got to be annoying as a better.
But it's, it is, should we ratchet back the plays, basically, because we'll talk to Zach about that. But it's always entree to bring up our great idea about actually physically walking over. Like, there should be some shame involved. The player who is quitting should have to lie down. The winner who advances should physically walk over that player.
Lie down in a prone position on the grass as Sir Allen Iverson walks over you, and he advances into the next round. That's what I want to see at Wimbledon. You gotta have that one here.
Florida State University's finest, Kelly Bidelon.
You were way off, by the way. 365.2422 days per year.
I'm 0-1, documented 0-1 on this show already. Okay, and of course, the crack part of that, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, coming up with the crack man. He was not with you guys the last 2 weeks, right? He was just chilling.
No, he was, I think he was here the first week you were out, but I think he was in Jersey or something.
Yeah, he might have been in Miami, too. I'm not sure. Yeah. We'll talk to him coming up about all random stuff. I think Richard Lewis will come up when he's on as well, obviously the passing of Richard Lewis. Okay. Let me just start with LeBron, because we sort of go out of our way. I shouldn't say that. But because mainstream media is just LeBron, LeBron, LeBron 24/7, we kind of don't do that. Like, if anything, we err to the opposite. But sometimes, man, Kelly, he does some stuff where you're like, we just have to stop and just appreciate the brilliance. And last night, the Lakers, with an amazing comeback win, LeBron's biggest fourth quarter comeback win of his career, a 21-point comeback in the fourth against the Clip Show last night, and the Lakers beat the Clippers 116-112. 21-year career, that's his biggest fourth quarter comeback. By the way, the Clippers in franchise history had never lost a game when they led by 19. Headed into the fourth quarter, 19 or more headed into the fourth quarter. LeBron outscored the Clippers in the final frame 19-16 single-handedly, 5 of 8 from 3 with 4 assists to close out, as you called it, or as others are calling it, the hallway series. Last time these two teams will play their home games in the same arena as the Clippers have themselves a new arena. But, you know, all that to say, does it trigger any bets? No, because they're still a play-in team, right? And I don't know that with all this. The amazing thing is just to appreciate LeBron, who is 39 years old and is in the first year of a two-year $99 million deal. He has a player option for year two. So Brian Windhorst is saying, actually, at the end of this year, at age 39, LeBron is going to say, I'm not going to exercise that option. Give me a three-year, nine-figure deal. I mean, come on. And so he would go to 42 years old, at which point Windhorst said, you know, and at that point, maybe he'll want a three-year, $60 million. Like, who knows? But just one point of comparison. When you think of Michael Jordan on the Wizards, what's the first thing you think about? Old man, right?
Yeah,
he was 38 when he signed with the Wizards.
I know. It's the part
that's incredible.
We were talking about it with, like, Clay the other day, right? It's so unfair because now we just expect all of these guys where, like, they start to slow down at 34, and you're like, what's going on with
Clay Thompson, you're 35. How dare you play like, this
how
way?
How dare you be this bad? It is amazing how these guys, it's once-in-a-generation talents like LeBron, and they do.
He's not once-in-a generation. He's once in forever.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
He's already cleared Kareem by 1,500 points. He's 40 points shy of 40,000.
Yeah. It's incredible, man. It is. And the fact that, yes, he can show up on a night like last night and do that. And, everybody wants to talk about the blowouts in the NBA this year. This is like the same thing, though, right? This is you're talking about a team carrying almost a near 20-point lead into the fourth quarter and choking it away. Just the amount of the swings that can happen in the NBA. It is just wild. It's been happening all season. Last night was another great example.
I'll say what everybody says in sports betting when they don't bet a specific sport, but I'll say to you NBA guys, but I don't know how y'all bet this stuff
That would have been a tough one to take last night. You're on the Clippers. I mean, they were dominating that game for basically three quarters, and then just yakking in the fourth quarter. Like that was gross.
So the other thing yesterday, and this may or may not trigger a bet for you, but the football news, pick your cliche, read the tea leaves, if you believe the writing on the wall, whatever it is Justin Fields going to be an Atlanta Falcon after all? The market soared with the Falcons now a $4 favorite, call it minus 425 at DraftKings, for Justin Fields' next team to be the Atlanta Falcons. Now, last time, a famous quarterback was supposedly headed to the Atlanta Falcons by the name of Deshaun Watson. Kelly Bidlin and Matt Brown raced to bet Falcons futures. As we know, then the Browns turned around and said, hey, you know that $253 million we're offering? We'll give you every penny guarantee. And he didn't end up with the Falcons. Albert Breer had a report about this. The Falcons have contacted the Bears about Justin Fields. And Ryan Poles, the Bears GM, had this to say about the Bears' plans, hypothetically, for Justin Fields.
Yeah, again, it just depends on what opportunities pop up. I will say this. I think you guys know me well enough now. I do, if we go down that road, I want to do right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. So we'll gather the information. We'll move as quickly as possible. We're not going to be in a rush and see what presents itself and what's best for the organization.
The biggest thing about this is the economics for the Bears, right? Yeah. It's like, you're going to have to pay, right? If you go with Justin Fields, he is nearing the end of the rookie deal. A massive contract is coming up. Or you just start over with the number one pick in the draft on a guy on a rookie contract. And again, the only way you win Super Bowls is a Hall of Famer or somebody overperforming on a rookie contract. You can pay other people. Justin Fields hasn't shown either of those two. It doesn't fit into any of those two categories at this point. second half stats in his 3-year career thus far. His passer rating is 78. That's out of the 158 passer rating, not the old school passer rating, not after the 100 QBR rating. 78 out of 158.3. And his completion percentage in the second half through 3 years, 58%, which Colin Coward pointed out is Zach Wilson territory.
Yeah, no bueno. But it is. It's all finances.
It is.
Like you 100%. Said, because it's the. I think there's some people that think there's still a future for Justin Fields. I think I'm one of those people. But it's if everything is created equal, then you go with Caleb Williams every single time. If there's not a drastic difference in how you view Justin Fields compared to all these quarterbacks in the class, then you got to go with the rookie quarterback just to reset.
Whether Caleb Williams is good or not,
exactly.
In the end, we don't know.
Bottom line,
you've learned your lesson. You're not laying minus 425 here on the Falcons, are you? Would you bet anything else?
No.
I wouldn't either.
And remember, that was a Falcons division ticket, okay?
Yes.
It wasn't even the same market.
That's correct.
I think the biggest thing to point out, though, is you and I were texting about this morning. Okay, what news really drives this kind of movement? There's not much, so it must just be betting action because
probably doesn't take that much to move.
Exactly. So Caleb Williams met with the Bears yesterday at the combine. We were shocked by that news. We didn't expect Caleb Williams to meet with the Bears yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, Ryan Poles said that 2 days ago. We didn't think Ryan Poles was going to say something like that. There's no major news moving this. So if you felt strongly about it before, I don't know if I'd be betting it at minus 425 now.
I love the NFL combination. Isn't that what that's short for?
No? Yeah, sure.
Zach joins us next, part of the Zach and Crack team. We'll talk tennis and NBA next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the grapefruit and cactus leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer? This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSiN experts, World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB betting primer now for free at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Bill Haiti did a bang up job of talking about the whole season win total thing I did on the Padres yesterday, going through it by Pythagorean theorem and then with base runs. Like, he's spot on, detailed.
In the newsletter today.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, well, that's two promos in one, I believe we just did.
That's right.
VSiN.com/newsletter. Is that allowed? Are we allowed to do two promos in one?
I'm sure they would love it, yeah.
This gentleman has perhaps the finest Twitter handle there is, Betting on X. Because we don't call it Twitter anymore. So that's why he has it at Betting on X. Senior editor at VSiN, of course. Talks tennis with us, talks NBA, so many sports. It's Zach Cohen, everybody. How you doing, Zach?
Good. How about you?
Doing very well. Let me begin with, we got a tweet here earlier, and I've run into this with a couple matches here. It's walkover season. A lot of these guys have played a lot of tennis, and then, of course, Indian Wells is upon us. Are you? Have you run into a couple of these where you're like, well, that's a wash?
I just had Seppi Korda. I was not watching the match. It was a little too early for me, but he retired in his match against Andre Rublev.
I had Yuri Lehechka this morning. Same thing. So, by the way, it is nice to have those work in your favor sometimes. So, I have a couple of these owed to me. Who did you end up betting in tennis today?
I only have Alex de Minaur against Stefano Tsitsipas. I'll have a write-up coming to the website fairly soon. But I just think that de Minaur has upped his game probably more than anyone since last season. I just think he's 12-5 this year, career-high winning percentage of just about 71%. Holding at about 87%, which, was by far the best of his career. I think the serve is what's impressed me the most with him. He's one of the fastest players on tour, is one of the best defenders on tour, but, winning easy service games is not something that's come to him in the past. That's why he's stepped his game up, and I do think that against Tsitsipas, who, I think he's dropped in level more than anyone on tour, I think it's a really good matchup for him.
Yeah, de Minaur minus 103-ish consensus as we're looking at it right now. That is an Acapulco. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. You know how tennis times go, but that's the scheduled time for those. Let's talk some NBA. You have a couple plays there as well. What did you land on?
I have the Miami Heat tonight plus 5 against the Nuggets. I know it's the third game in 4 nights for the Heat. That's a little bit alarming, but they did just play a game without some of their key players because of the suspension. They also had a day off yesterday. This is a team that is really starting to play well, which seems to happen every single year at this point in the year. But it's, you know, a team that is now 5th in the league in net rating over the last 10 games, 2nd in defense in that span, and the offense has also started to step up a little bit. Now they play the Nuggets, who just played last night. They'll be a little bit tired. I know it was a blowout, so they got some of their guys some rest, but I do think that the Heat are going to take this game a little more seriously than Denver will, and I just think this is going to be a close one, and I actually think Miami has a decent chance of winning outright.
Let me ask you, since those two teams happen to play, because I seized on those two teams specifically earlier this week when we were talking to Drew Dinsick, the Heat famously, who, you know, lollygagged during the regular season last year and then just destroyed in the postseason. The Nuggets, who are the defending champions, having beaten the Heat in the NBA Finals, who, you know, again, are up there in the standings and are certainly one of the contenders, but not by any stretch are they a consensus by experts thinking they're going to just coast into a championship. Are both of these teams playing a little bit of possum here, in your opinion? And are we, I don't know about playing possum, that's probably not the right phrase, but in a Kansas City Chiefs kind of way, sort of taking people off the scent yet again?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case with Miami. I think that they're really starting to take the regular season seriously, especially over these last couple of weeks. Jimmy Butler kind of came out and said, like, the time to, you know, lollygag is over. Like, we need to start winning some games, and, you know, they followed it up by doing so. I definitely do think that's the case with the Nuggets. I don't know if it's a case of, you know, not taking the regular season seriously, but I do think it's a team that is more built for the postseason. I think they're going to play, you know, less rotation players, you know, really focus more on their starting lineup and the lineups that work with bench players. So I do think it's a team that, you know, maybe more of a fade team in the regular season, even at this point in the year, but I still fully believe in them in the Western Conference playoffs. I think there are like 4 or 5 teams that really can come out and represent the West.
Do you have any futures, Zach, at all in the NBA?
I have a bunch. I mean, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. I took it really early in the year, about 45-1 to win the finals, which I don't think that's actually what they're going to do, but I'm hoping that they just get to that point and I can, you know, get to the Western Conference Finals. I maybe hedge off of it. I'm really tempted by the Thunder at 20-1 as another play to potentially hedge, because, you know, all season long we've been waiting for them to prove it. At some point, you just have to buy into what you see, and it's a team that is elite both offensively and defensively. They've stayed pretty much healthy, acquired Gordon Hayward at the deadline. I think that's a good rotation piece for them, one that I think I can see them turning to in place of, you know, Josh Giddey, who doesn't fit the lineup very well. So, you know, I just think those are pretty long odds for what we've seen on them at this point.
That Giddey point is a good one. Like, it's just, in the end, is he a player that they'll have on the court in any meaningful minutes at the end of games? I wonder. And I love that Jimmy Butler's saying it's all serious now when he, like, shows up in a Fallout Boy video with his Jermaine Stewart hair. It's like,
yeah, hey, not hit on that the first segment.
You're taking very seriously. All right, you have another pick, I'm sorry, today, another play.
Yeah, I have Wendell Carter Jr. over 1.5 made threes against the Jazz, which is available at plus 180. Carter Jr. is coming off an 0-for-2 game, but he had hit at least 2 threes in his 3 previous games. And he's just a really good shooter, 41.1% on the season, playing against a Jazz team that does not defend the three-point line very well. They've given up the 2nd most threes per game this season, and just giving up high percentages from 3 overall, especially in the corner, which Carter Jr. gets a lot of his looks. So I think against, you know, an Orlando team that doesn't have a lot of shooting, they'll try to get the ball to their shooters, and Carter Jr. is one of them. So I actually really like these odds. I think plus 180 is a really favorable price.
Do you also work on the MLB betting primer? Are you going to be part of that as well, Zach?
I will be editing that primer. I don't think I'm working on it. I think it's going to be all Adam Burke team-by-team previews.
Wow.
I did put some Cy Young and MVP awards up on the website over the last week, although I'm really starting to gear up for baseball season over the next couple of days.
All right, let's share those for those who didn't see it on the website. What did you end up with those award markets?
So I put, you know, a pick to win and a long shot. In the NL Cy Young market, I played Zach Gallen at 12-1, and I played Walker Buehler as a long shot at 40-1, because this is a guy that I think was one of the best pitchers in baseball before he got injured. He's now, you know, about 2 years removed from that injury. Through live batting practice yesterday, I think that he's looking healthy at this point in the year, and I don't really think that his velocity tailed off 2 years ago in a way that people thought. I think that his stuff kind of tailed off, and he's a guy that, I don't know. I just think that his elbow was really bothering him. He got Tommy John surgery for the second time in his career. I don't think he should have a 40-1 number next to his name.
Yeah, and the Dodgers have always, to me, felt like that they never really got that he was their best pitcher for so many years. Yeah. What's the other awards bet in baseball that you had?
I have AL Cy Young as well, and I went with two Orioles. I took Corbin Burns as my pick to win at 10-1, and Grayson Rodriguez at 30-1. And it's an odd thing in baseball this year where I just feel like my MVP and Cy Young awards are both bunched up on the same team.
Yeah.
But the Orioles are a team I'm really high on. I think that's, you know, most people are. But Corbin Burns is one of the best pitchers in the league, in the National League, won the Cy Young Award 2 years ago, comes over now and plays in one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks in the league in Camden Yards. I think he's going to do spectacular things for Baltimore. And Rodriguez, this is a guy that was a top prospect in baseball 2 years ago. Electric stuff, really found his own from July on for Baltimore last year. And I think that you can get him at 30-1. That's a really good number.
Hey, before you go, Zach, I forgot you have a tennis future you'd like to share as well.
Yeah, I have two futures in Acapulco. I have Casper Ruud to win the tournament at 10-1, and I have Holger Rune to win the tournament at 8-1. They're on the same side of the bracket. I was just hoping that Alexander Zverev would get bounced on the other side. He was, so now I feel pretty good about it, although I'd be lying if I said I was feeling great about Ruud against Ben Shelton tonight. I think if I were playing that match just on its own, I'd probably take Shelton.
So you have Dimonor and Rune, you said?
I have Dimonor to win outright tonight. Just tonight, I have Rune and Ruud to win.
Rune and Ruud, I'm sorry. So yeah. Rune right now. Holger Vitas Nodskov Rune, by the way, Kelly, if you want to score that at home.
Hey, good job.
He's plus 320 now, and Ruud is 4-1. Would you play either at the current price?
I would play Rune. I'm really, really high on that Patrick Mouratoglou pairing. I think that both of them are, you know, questionable antics, but I think that that's a good pairing for them. I think that they both just want to win any way possible. I think Rune needs to be careful about what he's drinking, but I think that I really trust this pairing. Rune is a really talented player, now has a good mind in his corner. He's looked really good to start this tournament.
Acapulco, one of five tournaments going on worldwide right now. Three on the men's side, two on the ladies' side, four on hards, one on clay as we head to Indian Wells next week. Looking forward to that. Zach and I have tennis plays every day at VSiN.com/picks, as do all hosts, not tennis necessarily, but all hosts and guests on the network having their picks of their respective sports. Zach, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
The great Zach Cohen at Betting on X. Basin senior writer, kind enough to join us this morning. We'll come back. More NFL, more NBA, and crack. Bill Krakenberger joins us. Unscripted numbers game. Basin, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus, our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG.
ANG as an A numbers game.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. You faked me out, man. Don't appreciate it. Let me just read this one.
I couldn't figure out yesterday with the easel. The easel, you were just sitting there with the phone waiting on me.
When you have an easel, when you work off an easel, Kelly, you're concentrating on the easel.
That's right.
Everybody knows that. This is from Johnny Ringo. I believe it's from Johnny Ringo. Yes, Johnny Ringo. If there isn't a 30 for 30 on the flipper, the world is being done a disservice.
Would be very – let me tell you something. That would really be really interesting how this guy won tens of millions from the 70s, early 70s on, you know, flipping coins. That would be a really good one. Listen, the one on Jimmy the Greek, I love that one too.
Oh, that's great.
I love that one, and I think that would be along the lines of that. I mean, the guy, in the end, I didn't tell them people this part. In the end, just like Jimmy the Greek, Flipper had a little bit of a problem. He was a big horse racing degen. He loved betting horse racing. So he would take the money he made advantageously gambling and blow it somewhere else. You know what? I got to tell you something. This will be shocking to know, probably for people. There are some of the sharpest of the sharps that are specialized in a certain sport, and they beat it every year, but yet give it back or give back a large percentage in another sport. So they have leaks somewhere else.
Yeah. It's like the poker players come over and lose it all in the sports book.
That's the greatest analogy. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
They blow it in the sports book or on roulette. There was like a player that won $1 million one time at the Bellagio, went outside and blew the whole million playing roulette in 2 days.
Because I don't know if you know this, Bill. Poker players, they're the best at everything.
Yes. Yes.
As we could tell from certain person, Survivor.
I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, hope so. Bit off topic, but Richard Lewis passed away, 76 years old, of a heart attack. Had been suffering from Parkinson's disease, but by all reports was doing well, but passed away from a heart attack. Obviously, this generation knows him best as one of the key players on Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm, but a comic for years and years before that, neurotic beyond belief.
A great stand-up comic.
Great stand-up comic. I met him. I've lived a few lives. I met him. I did a show. I always call my Johnny Unitas San Diego Chargers year in radio in San Francisco. I was did mornings at a country music station. Don't ask. It was me. It was a Jewish guy, a black guy, a gay guy, and then a girl on a country music station in San Francisco. Go figure it out.
Sounds like shows that are on now.
It lasted a year. So, but we had the beauty of doing radio in San Francisco is that it is such a comedy hub. Like Chappelle loved doing shows in the Bay Area. He used it as a testing ground. So word would get around unannounced about a Chappelle show. Like I saw him, remember like Dane Cook was trying to set the comedy record for longest show. I would go to a Chappelle show at midnight. Swear to God, this happened one time. 6:30 in the morning, I'm still there. The Skins are about to play the Lions, and I'm like, we gotta go. But like he was like, I'm not. My point here is not to make you laugh; it's to break you. You know. So in that Chappelle voice, saw him at the comedy at the Punchline. Was it Punchline or Cobb's? Where he, you know, Chris Tucker opened for Chappelle, and I was sitting next to Al Gore. Like, it was like comedy gold back then. And on the radio show, we used to have everybody come in. So Jeff Garlin, Susie Essler, Susie Essman, is it Essler or Essman, from Curb, they came in. Susie did this thing where she cursed at me off air, and then we just bleeped out the curse words. Gil, you four-eyed.
Susie Essman.
Susie Essman. She was wonderful. So nice in real life. Bobby Lee would come on. Bobby Lee. Comics are the best interviewees because they are tortured souls. And like Bobby Lee, who had been on Mad TV, was saying he couldn't remember 4 years of his life when he was on. David Alan Greer. I think I told that story when I was on air where I was late to sort of prep for him, and so I did my research via Wikipedia, and it was all nonsense. So it like became,
oh,
I was like,
no.
I'm here, you're doing a Farrakhan musical.
And I don't
he's like,
think I've
dying.
Heard this story. That's,
yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
I heard you're doing a Farrakhan
so
musical.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But Richard Lewis came on, and all I remember from Richard Lewis is I couldn't, at that age, I couldn't handle the dude. He ends up like a bee. He was so neurotic in real life. He was exactly how he was in real life as he was. As you see him, or as you saw him on TV and on his stand-up, so neurotic, he ends up behind you, like, you know, you're talking to him with the mics in front of you, just all over the place. But what a talent. What an unbelievable talent. And Twitter was, filled with tributes. Like, everybody running clips of him yesterday. One funny scene after another. So Richard Lewis passing away at the age of 76, but from a golden age of comedy that... in some tangential way, I was thrilled to be a part of as we were able to talk to all those guys. Are you a fan of Curb?
Yeah, of course. How can you not be? That was a fun, it was just a funny situational comedy. It's, you know, like Seinfeld, but people even like it better than Seinfeld.
Some people don't like this last season, though. Some people are saying it's a little too forced for
them.
Oh,
wow. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but yeah. The first, like, you know, 10 years was great stuff.
Oh, it's
8 years, whatever it was.
I haven't watched any of the new season yet, but I've heard that same thing.
Yeah.
I like him to build up, you know, because I don't remember these things otherwise.
Right.
Like I'll remember it like once a month that the show's going on.
You guys like go back and watch the entire thing once in a while. Like I do that with The Sopranos once a year. I'll watch every season.
I'm doing it with Curb right now.
With
I'm in season five.
You'll do that.
Yeah.
There was a couple shows that I like. There's a show I'd like to do it. It's just too long. I thought it was fantastic. Homeland. I would like to see Homeland again.
Homeland
was just too long. It was so good.
Homeland was one of those shows where the first couple seasons were better than the end, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the first couple seasons.
Like, I remember quitting, like, in season three or season four, because exactly what Gil said. The first two were, like, amazing. I remember thinking it was incredible, and then I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
Like,
I feel that way about a lot of shows. Like, Succession, Goulet and I had this argument. Goulet thinks it's, like, this great job. I was like, hey, after the first year, I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, it's the same thing. Oh, let me guess, a really tremendously wealthy family talks unnaturally to each other? That's awesome.
I was that guy who I'm wondering how many shows like that, where I watch every episode and I'm like, wait, really? Like this show's so silly. And then I fire up another episode. You're like, this is so stupid. Why am I watching this?
I'm sure, like, during football, even basketball now, I can't watch any shows. I'm sure, like, this is stuff that you probably watch during, like, the baseball season. Like, so I'll do that in the summertime. I'll watch, even though I do love baseball, I will watch, I watch Sopranos every single year.
Uh-huh.
Or I even like Entourage. It gives you a pump up. I watch the beginning to the end. But I've heard of that show Succession, never seen it. Breaking Bad I want to watch again, too. I liked it. I thought it was great.
Breaking Bad I have watched twice. You know what show is my favorite of all time that is so heavy that you can't watch it a second time is The Wire.
Never seen
it.
It's too heavy to watch. It's too heavy.
I never seen it. I was told to see it.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Wow.
Greatest thing ever.
The Wire is the one.
So if you guys had to put any kind of shows in your top one or two, would The Wire be it?
The Wire for me would be number one.
Wow. Now I got to see it. Because you're like the third person that told me.
I'm not that guy. I'm the guy who doesn't think it's all that great.
Oh. Well, here's the thing. I grew up in that area, so there's a little bit of regional.
It's based on, like, Washington, D.C.?
Baltimore. Right. So there's a little bit of regional recognition, like some of the things that people tell you, like, and I won't go in because it's a curse word, but there's certain things you recognize.
Right.
There's certain behaviors. But the beauty of The Wire was it was five seasons, and the guy who wrote it, Simon is his last name, used to be a cop in Baltimore and also was in the press, I believe. So he had an intimate knowledge of the authenticity of it
all. But then you wouldn't watch it again.
No, because it's so, like, season one and season four of The Wire, there were five seasons, and he planned them all out in advance. Like, season one was, you know, a certain type of drug trade. Season two was the docs. Season four was in the schools. Season four in the schools, you forget you're watching a show.
Wow.
Like, and I know guys who I grew up with who ended up teaching in the Baltimore County school system, and they used to describe this to me. So to watch it done so authentically, it really, like, hit home.
All right, I'll have to see that.
Yeah, it's
incredible. Just was wondering, like, if there was those I seen a show called The Corner. Did you see that
based on
Baltimore?
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. It was like 10 episodes, but The Wire was I heard The Wire was similar to that, and I like The Corner, so I'm going to have to see it.
You know what other comic rolled in there back in the day in San Francisco, Kelly, was the great Norm MacDonald, who, of all jokes, one of the ones he told, of course, was he said, studies show that that women find men more attractive when they grow facial hair.
Right.
So says the Bob Seger Institute. By the way, Derek Stevens might – what do you think Derek Stevens – Derek Stevens has $1 billion. We have no idea how much money Derek Stevens has. But if he has $1 billion, he owes Bob Seger $500 million of it because Seger is on here all day long, his entire catalog.
REM too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's Bob Seger songs?
Oh, my God.
The one guy I wish I would – I've seen so many concerts. He had his retirement concert here in Las Vegas, and I missed it. So Bob Seger retired, and he had his retirement concert 2 years ago. It's one guy. But however, I could just sit here and listen to it and have my own
there
little
you go,
concert.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Still the same coming up after, coming up after the break. We wrap things up with the Crackman. Bill Krakenberg. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Krakman with the K. And the name of the podcast is Wisecracks, which he does with John Orlando. We're coming back. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5, get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. If your first bet loses, download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Once again, I'm on Bali Nets as a big dog today in tennis and on Sasha Vickery, but the Vickery price is too high now based on the price that I got. Kelly, what are your basketball plays again?
Magic and Hawks. Magic, Hawks, and Suns.
We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Great feedback. Always appreciate it. Trust the glove. We call him Flipper. Faster than lightning, no one can be smarter than he. Chorus. Evan Klein. Ironic that last week's episode about on Curb was about Richard putting Larry in his will. Yeah, that's tough. Mr. Postman 619. The same guy that wrote The Wire wrote The Corner. I've rewatched.
Oh, there you go.
I've rewatched The Wire three times.
I like The Wire.
Gets better.
I mean, the corner,
gets better every time. Stephen Vegas is a huge fan of The Wire. The Corner is often referred to as a prequel. Oh, I didn't know that. To The Wire, even though there's no direct ties between the two, you guys also have to watch We Own the City because of how many actors from The Wire are in it and its similar content. That was also the case with Tremé, that David Simon wrote, which was about New Orleans and the jazz culture. Chance Copperpot, David Simon and Edward Burns both did The Wire and The Corner. If you like one, you'll like the other. Corner was almost as good as The Wire. Miniseries versus series. Wow.
Oh, now you got to see it.
Wow.
It was so good. I watched it like three times.
Wow.
The Corner was good.
Okay. We talk about your podcast. It's called Wisecracks.
Yeah. Yep.
And you got a great guest coming up.
I do. And I'll tell you why I reached out to him. I. Nelson Rose, who's like the premier, you know, he's a leading expert in gambling law, consultant, frequency guest for the government industries. He's the greatest gaming guy that I know. And literally... the questions, I'm going to have a bunch of questions for him. Matter of fact, I'm going to actually ask the public, too, for some questions. Because when I emailed him, he said, if you have some prepared questions for me, that would be great. So I'm going to see if the public has some, you know, tax law or any gaming law questions.
Did you tell him that these are not billable hours? He does not get to bill you?
Yeah, no. I actually emailed him, and I was surprised he emailed me back. He actually knew who I was. So that was good. I was happy about that. Because, yes, he definitely charges for his time.
Why do attorneys get to do that and nobody else in the world does? sorry, attorneys, but really, it's a little much. Like doctors call you to, like, you consult with a doctor. They don't even think about billing you for the extra time. But lawyers, oh, precious lawyers, every
I
second.
I called you for 15 minutes. You got the $200 on.
Stop it.
But anyway, so the reason why I reached out to him was because of a subject that came up on my podcast, which I have to tell you, I don't know the answer. I think I want to know the answer. And I'll pose it to our listeners here and viewers here. And I ask you guys on the break, and we kind of don't know. So I'm Joe Public. I come up to the sports book, and I bet, you know, $200 on the Super Bowl. I bet once a year. I win the money. I win the $200. I take my money, go home. That's it. I bet once a year. Do I have to pay tax on the $200 from the sports book?
Technically, I think you do. Practically speaking, I don't know that anyone does.
Well,
if it's just that,
there's no ID given for the $200, so who would even know you bet it?
Right. Sports, but here's the distinction: sports betting is different than the other casino games, right?
Okay, that's what I want to ask. Now, that's the real question came up on the casino. You go in the casino, you get rated. Here's your rating card. You get rated.
Yeah.
You only come in a couple times a year.
Yep.
And it just so happens that you win $200 here, $500 here, you lose $500 here. At the end of the five trips that you in 1 year, you're up $500. Do you have to? No tax form has been generated. Do you have to pay tax on that? You have to remember, oh, I won that $500 after those five trips. You have to write down and remember you won $500 and pay tax on that money. Not like a slot machine where if you hit $1,200 or more, a tax form is generated.
That's correct, automatically.
Does that mean if you win $800 on a slot machine, and, you know, I know the way I do it. I pay a quarterly estimated tax, and I get my win-loss statements from all the casinos at the end of the year. You write off your losses against your wins.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about for Joe Public comes in five times a year or bets that one Super Bowl bet per year. I'm going to ask Rose that.
Yeah. And again, hopefully he doesn't bill you. But the I will just tell you from the sports betting side of things,
yes.
Right, because I can speak to that. It's... Let's say you won six figures. They still don't generate a tax form. They do it internally, right?
Yes.
It is up to you to do your taxes, right? So technically, the answer to it is yes, you should pay.
Even for those little amounts.
Well, that's
a couple $100.
I don't know that.
Because then why wouldn't you get a tax form all the time at a slot machine? You know what I mean? Like, it's a very interesting question. Let me just tell you now. I didn't talk about it for years. It does involve DraftKings. And they were they paid me a lot of money on – I'll just tell you. They paid me $115,000 on Benchero when he won. So I got $115,000. I never showed the tickets on Twitter. I didn't do that.
You showed me.
I showed you.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the end of the year, I looked on DraftKings. It's so great that they do this, that they don't make you send something in. You have to get something via mail or email. You go right on the site. And by the way, it's not only DraftKings. It's most of the sports books.
Yeah.
And you go right on the site, and they – show you what you've won for the year, and you take that against your win losses off other casinos, and you write them off. You know, it's real simple. But I don't know if they turn that money in and say, hey, Bill Krakenberger won 115,000. Well, it was actually more. I won like 180 for the year. He won 180,000 off us for the year off us. So here's the yeah. You know, just letting the government know, because I didn't get any tax form on it. So I don't know the rule. And I just think that
what you're really most curious about, it seems like, is there a minimum?
Well, then, of course. I'm just saying what DraftKings did. They made it more easier.
No, but I'm saying for the broader question.
I want to know about Joe Public comes in and wins. Listen, I want to use the same thing again. Wins $200 once a year, comes in on the Super Bowl, walks away from the counter with $200.
Right. Well, let's make it even less. What you're really asking is if somebody nets $20, let's say, for the whole year.
20 grocery dollars.
Is it technically
– yes.
That legally binding, that really what they should do is fill out a tax form for that $20. That's what you're really asking.
I want to say no way.
I want to say no way, too.
I want to say no way.
But you know what we want to say has no bearing on this.
By the way, for those interested, the IRS actually has an extremely detailed part of their website on on some of this stuff. I've just been kind of scrolling through it, including the triggers and when you're supposed to get a form.
Okay.
Because $1,200, we've talked about that with video poker. That's from bingo or slot machines. $1,500 or more from Keno. $5,000 or more from poker. This one is a little confusing. $600 or more, or at least 300 times the amount of the wager. So I guess if you hit a 300-to-1 shot or more, you're supposed
get a
form.
300-to-1 gets you a form. Yes, 300-to-1 is the odds that get you a form.
And then the all encompassing answer to all of these questions is that basically you're supposed to figure out at the end of the year on everything that you win.
Yes,
you can also deduct losses losses.
So now that's the thing. So some people will, because I know there's got to be a percentage of the audience out there that's saying this. Yeah, but the deductions are not treated in the same way that the winnings are.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm shocked at something he just said. Did you say at poker, sitting down at a poker table?
That's what it has on this website.
So is that IRS.org?
on this website.
On this website. Yeah, I mean.
I'm on e-file.com.
Yeah.
It was the IRS site sent
me. So poker, that's a great thing. Because if you're a winning poker player, there's no way to track that. You know, I guess you could track it if you're cashing out chips here and there, but I mean,
it's a good point. If you're doing a daily grind poker player, are they busting out the black book at the end of the night? Like, all right, minus.
Well, the better part of that is up to 5,000. So in other words, if you win 4,000, they're saying you don't have to pay tax on it. What's the difference with winning here at the casino?
Now that's when you get the form. You're still supposed to pay your own taxes.
You're still supposed to pay your own taxes. Okay, that reminds me of a famous Ralph Kramden honeymooner scene when he won literally an all-night poker game. He won $80, and he got so nervous he went down and filed taxes on the $80, and he won a horse with his clock on his stomach, and he won it. And meanwhile, they summoned him to come down there, but they said, you have to come down. He got nervous all night, biting his fingernails, telling his wife, Alice, what am I going to do here? And sure enough, he just forgot to sign the tax form. They didn't want to know about the extra 80. He goes, no, let me tell you about the $80 I won, too. I want to give you a tax on the all-night poker game. So I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, Twitter, we're going to get tweets on this.
It's a very timely discussion with April 15th just around the corner.
Yeah, people are going to want to know, and I'll say it again. I don't think anyone is voluntarily paying taxes on a couple $100 win or a $500 win. On a poker win, I can't even get a poker player to wash their hands in the bathroom. You think they're going to be paying tax on the slot win on a poker win?
And I just got a text from someone I won't mention who it is because I don't know that he wants to be named. He says, you are correct, Gil. There is no floor on gambling income. The IRS leaves it up to the taxpayer to report. There is no way to investigate and prove your winnings.
Very nice of him. Yeah. So tonight we're getting together with a little Las Vegas Chris, Gambling Lou. I want to give the shout out to those guys. Chris going through some stuff there. So give a shout out to him and little get together.
He's been live texting us as well.
Good.
With his thoughts on slots as well.
Awesome.
Best to Chris. We've done all we can do. Golics are next. Gojo and Golic, right here on the DraftKings Network. Or on VSiN, I should say, specifically. Pardon me. Got my networks mixed up. That's next. Enjoy from VSiN, the sports betting network.